Hi, this is Laurie, and welcome to Shamanic Works. I'm so glad that you're with me today. We're going to be talking today about one of the basic tools of the shamanic practitioner who practices for her or his community, and that is the befriending of allies within your community. But before we do that, what we'll do is, as always, we will open sacred space. Today, what you're going to need, in addition to just the ability to turn towards the elements, is to also at some point locate a candle, because we will be lighting a candle at some point in time. So if you have one nearby, great, just know where it is. And we'll be using that a little bit later in one of the practices that I want to share with you today. However, for this moment, what we'll do is turn to face the east, wherever that is for you, the direction from which the sun rises. And we will address the spirits of the East together. Spirits of the East, you who throw open the gates of the dawn and invite us to greet the day, you who are the midwives and the nurturers of new beginnings, the protectors and the nourishers of the young and that which is new within us, be present with us here today. Teach us to be nurturers and protectors and nourishers of that which is new within us, and ever, ever, ever to step boldly into the new day. Join us here in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. And now if you would turn a quarter of a turn to the right to face the south, or send your attention out in that direction. Spirits of the South, you who hold within you the fullness and the richness of noonday and of the height of summer, which is what we're experiencing just now, shine on us with your bright light. Enliven us with your song. Sing that great song, the Oran Mor, into us, and let us sing it into the world. Be present with us here today. Join with us in this conversation. Lean into us, and make your wisdom known. And now if you turn another quarter turn so that you're facing west, spirits of the West, you who prepare our eyes with the softness of twilight for the darkness of that which we do not yet know and understand, for the great mystery, for the creative energy of the void. Join with us here in this conversation. Teach us, as if we were your very own children, to travel. Have no need of enemies in this world or the next, so that we may skip across the rainbow bridge and return with power, with healing, with information for our community here in this world. Join us in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. Final quarter turn so that we're facing north. Spirits of the North, you who bring to us the energy of the ancestors, the mysterious lights of the northern sky. You who have the heart to make the epic journey beyond death. Stand at our right hand and at our left hand, and to have our backs, to teach us, to guide us, and to empower us. Be present with us here. Do all those things. Join us in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. Now, if you will your attention, bring your hands upwards, and we will address the spirits of the sky, spirits of above, the sun, grandmother moon, the star nations, our ultimate ancestors from whose atoms we are formed. Shine your light upon us. Let us see clearly the path that we are walking. Give us the eyes to discern which path is our soul's true path, and the energy to put our feet upon it so that they are unerring in finding it for us. Overarch us, surround us, guard us, and empower us. Join us in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. Now, if you are below to the earth, and we will say together, Earth, my mother, Earth, my mother, Earth, my mother, you cradle us as always. Teach us to walk with grace upon your skin, to dance with joy upon your belly, and to remember all. We are bone of your bone, blood of your blood, breath of your breath. Join us in this conversation. Teach us. Open us. Guide us. Lean into us. Make your wisdom known. So we've talked before about the tools of the community shaman, the person who is a shamanic practitioner in their own lives and for their community all around them, the human community and the community of plants and animals and microbes and winds and clouds, and all of those beings that are around us. And some of the tools that we have talked about, the tool I like to use as my ground, the place that I start, gratitude always, because the life that we live is a gift of everything that is around us, and I know that, and so it's useful in attuning our hearts to spirit to actually say that. And we've talked about this before, so if you've been with me throughout the series of programs, you will have heard this, but I'll just say it again in case you've just tuned in, that we have within our bodies an opening, a doorway, a portal directly into spirit, directly into the love that powers the universe, the power of spirit, the light at the heart of everything. And that is our heart. When we are grateful and express that gratitude physically in words, we actually speak it. And I know that that can be terribly scary. I've experienced that myself, but I would say it's worth taking the risk. Would encourage you to do that. When we speak our gratitude to whatever it is, we may be saying, thank you, air, for your life-giving properties. Thank you for carrying oxygen in just the right amount that my body can breathe in and survive and flourish. Thank you for that. It is a gift. And it is. It is a gift. Then your heart opens and more of that light of source of spirit flows out through you. It transforms you as it flows through you, and it transforms whatever it shines on. So gratitude is a fundamental tool that shamanic practitioners use, simply to align ourselves with the flow of spirit. My sister would call it the flow of our luck, you know, the bountifulness of what is being poured out through this world all the time. If we just attune ourselves to that particular flow, then there we are, and we have it. So gratitude is my ground for being, and it is one of the tools of the community shaman, the person who practices shamanism for the sake not only of their own lives, but of the community around them, possibly starting with their family, because your family transforms when you transform, your neighborhood transforms when you transform. Your workplace transforms when you transform. So shamanic work is transformative work, and you can't help but transform when you do it, and that is not the aim of it. The aim of it is to serve the community around you. So if you're a person who has been called to service, this will resonate with you, and you will know that that's who you are if you didn't already, which you may very well. So another one of the tools of the shaman is to see what is, and that is to say, to come to every moment with innocent eyes and to simply see what is without any preconceived notions or expectations or things that can be disappointed. So whatever else besides expectations you want to call that, or without any agendas of trying to make things a particular way, but simply allowing what is to be and witnessing it. And if you've been in a relationship where you know that the person is trying to get you to be a particular way, maybe you know how that way is and maybe you don't, but you always feel the pressure, always feel the pressure. When that stops and you're in the presence of someone who simply allows that you are the way you are and relates, then possibly you'll know the relief that this presents. So I would say that's a really powerful tool of a community shaman. If you provided that and nothing more for your community, it would transform right in front of your eyes, and it would not take long. So that's a thought. And then another one, of course, is blessing, the ability to speak good things into being. So to invoke, it's not just wishing, but it's actually invoking with words good things. So you may say to a tree, may your roots always find water that nourishes you and the minerals that you need in order to grow and thrive and bear fruit. That's a blessing. It's a well-wishing for whatever is in front of you and receiving it. Another tool of the shaman that we may have talked about, is intention. And that is, as a shamanic practitioner, if you do journey work, then you know about holding your intention. That is your intended purpose for the journey. So I'm going to Lower World, and I'm going there to meet a guide and to ask this particular question. That's absolutely great, and that's the intention that we use most often. But I would say even more valuable is the intention that you held when you came into this life. Please don't scream at me and throw the radio across the room. But what I would say is, you probably don't know that. You may have rediscovered it. We certainly forget it as part of our learning how to be human. We do forget why we came here. And part of our job as we go through our lives is to rediscover that and then live it. So if you haven't rediscovered it, it's fine. Begin to speak it, even if what you're saying is, I don't know why I came here. I don't know why I'm here. I really don't know why I'm here. I wish I did, but I don't. But I think it's something to do with compassion, because I always tear up when I hear things that are referred to, that refer to compassion or to the goddess of deep compassion. I feel a real tug in my heart. So I think I'm here to do something with compassion. That is a start. That is way further than most people get. So I would encourage you to continue to speak that to the natural world, because those are the ones with the ears, and they're the ones who can train you. They're the ones who can teach you. I know that sounds wild and bizarre, but we really have come here born into a rich environment that if we are interacting with it and listening, then it will teach us how to be human, because we aren't born. You know that, I know that. We have to learn it along the way. And sometimes the learning is, really hard knocks and very painful, and we don't like it much. But unfortunately, you don't really get to choose in your life. But you can soften the knocks, and you can soften those knocks by opening your ears and by speaking your purpose in being here in this life. So I know so far that my purpose is to live compassion in the world. That is my intention of my entire life and my whole being. And so everything else that there's around that then begins to fall into place. And that includes employment and training and people that I meet and books that show up in my space and, you know, things that people say to me that just strike me suddenly. And I think, why did that come into the conversation? And it came into the conversation because I needed to hear it and because I'm doing my best to live true to that intention. So that is another tool of yours that I would like to know that you're using, because it's a very powerful one and it will transform your entire life if you persistently use it. These are not things you can do once and whoosh, you know, you'll be transformed. But they are things that if you practice them regularly and keep reminding yourself, you may need to put, you know, post-it notes around the house. I don't know how you remember things, but if you keep reminding yourself and keep using these tools, then indeed what you will find is that your life transforms, you transform, your family transforms, your community transforms, your workplace transforms, and what you end up living in is a universe that looks quite different to the one that you maybe thought was the real one. That is to say, you will live in a beneficent, kind, loving universe that is supporting you, and all you have to do is put out your hand and what you need comes to it. But you have to put the work in. You can't just sit back and go, okay, well, the universe is just going to meet me right where I am. You have to use the tools. So we are here today to learn about one of those tools, and that's the fifth tool. We've covered four of them, and that tool is befriending allies. And so what I would like for us to do today is to do some exercises to befriend allies. And before I do that, I want to give a little background. Because in shamanic practice, if you've done any training in shamanic practice, what we do is generally journey outside of our bodies. We go to lower world or upper world, and we ask to meet a teacher, and we spend time with that teacher, and we ask questions, and we listen to the answer, and we put it into practice in our lives. And that is fantastic. It's a wonderful thing to be doing. I encourage you to do it. It is not, however, what I am talking about today, and here's why. If we had come to a shamanic practice of whatever variety, whether you're actually called to be a healer or a prophet or a seer, or you're just, you know, a member of the community, and you obviously have a spiritual practice, so you are related in a way that brings healing into your family and keeps you in a balanced relationship with the unseen side of things and with the seen side of things as well, then you would have come up, each of us would have come up being taught from the time we were able to speak and walk, and maybe before, how to relate with respect and care and love with every aspect of our environment. With the elements, with aspects of our immediate landscape that we live in, with the animals that inhabit it, certainly with the plants that grow there. We would have already known that before we even considered what Westerners now would call a shamanic practice. So there's lots of good things that our society, our industrialized society, has done for us. Think about your life. It is so easy to stay clean, to stay warmed and fed, to see at night, to not be eaten by predators. All of those things we really have made very easy for ourselves, and I am intensely grateful for that, because I don't think I would survive 10 minutes if you just dropped me in the middle of the true wilderness. But what we have not done for ourselves is to teach ourselves how to relate tenderly with the environment on a really personal level, so that each of us is personally related to the beings that are there in our environment, whether those beings are what we would, Westerners would call alive, or whether they are rocks or hills or winds or clouds. All of those beings are there to be related with, and that is the groundwork from which any shamanic work gets done. So today, what I would like to invite you to do is to befriend some of those allies. So we're going to do some befriending work, and we will talk a little bit about the elements and some aspects of our environment that that we certainly could powerfully be befriending, and that will be powerful, teaching, protecting, supplying allies and friends as well. So I started out thinking, what is the first element that we encounter when we come into this world? And I was thinking, well, surely it's air, because we all have that moment of holding our breath when we're hearing about a birth, or we're hearing a birth dramatized, or we're there, where you're waiting for that baby to take a breath, and usually let you know that they're present, and by using air. But then I thought, but in our mother's womb, we are in our own personal sea. So really, it's water that we encounter first, and we're mostly water. Between 60 and 70% of our bodies is actually made up of water, and it's in that fabulous soup that we, all of the processes that we call life, that keep us able to move, think, speak, wish, have emotions, do anything. All of those take place within the element of water. So we are intimately entwined with this element. And that element is a being as well. So that is with sacred intelligence that can be tapped into. And when I say tapped into, I mean it can be aligned with. It can teach us. It can have messages for us. So that is one thing that we're going to be doing, is to befriend. So here's the point at which we actually begin the work, and that is that what I would like to do is to just rattle a bit and talk you through a way of introducing yourself to that element. And we do that really within our own bodies, because there is so much of it and we are so intimately entwined. So find a comfortable place to sit or to lie down or to stand, but I recommend someplace where your body is supported so you can relax. And then we will do this. I'm just going to rattle ever so quietly and invite you. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Let your body relax. And then let your attention drop. Just let it drop slowly down to the center of your so that feels like it is, maybe somewhere down in your belly, down below your diaphragm, down in that area. And then speak in your own mind or with your physical voice in a place where you can do that, and introduce yourself. So I might say, hello, water. This is Lori. I'm here to live compassion in the world. I wanted to say hello and thank you. Thank you so much for carrying me when I was in my mother's womb, for allowing all of these life processes to go on and allow me to have a physical life. I know that you're there, hidden kind of behind the scenes. I wanted you to know that I know you're there. I'm listening. And thank you. And listen for a moment. Say your thanks. And then bring your attention back up into your mind. And then you have fully returned and open your eyes. So, there you are. Begun a relationship with the element of water, that sacred intelligence that really carries us through this life, that carries us in our bodies, carries us in the air, there's water. life-giving properties of rain, and the runoff, and the sea. All of those things are, of course, aspects of water, which you know. And I would invite you to go and stand in live water, running water, or seawater, and have a conversation. But also, when you wash your face in the morning, a friend of mine says that he washes his face and he splashes water on it, and he says, I take this water and ask it to cleanse me. I take this water and ask it to renew me. I take this water and I give it thanks. Something like that as a everyday practice that just takes almost no time will do its bit to transform you, to actually completely change your relationship with yourself and with the natural world. You will become more yourself, and the natural world will become enchanted, full of magic, reaching out to you in friendship, which, after all, isn't that what we've all always wanted? So, second element that we encounter as we come to the world, as we've said, is air. So we wait for that first breath and that first shout from a newborn. And that tells us that they've encountered air and they're in a relationship with it. So always, always, always we're in a relationship with air. It's the one element we cannot do without for more than a few minutes. So it's worth giving thanks because we have it. And in addition to that, it is an element, part of whose job, function in the planet, is to connect us. And it connects us because we all breathe it. We breathe it in, we breathe it out. So we take from it, we add to it. Plants do the same. It all is coming and going from all of us all the time. And the winds blow and move the air around the planet so that we all are connected by this air that we breathe in common. And it carries messages. You may not know that you are receiving messages, but you are. When you breathe in, those lobes of the brain, which are closest to your nasal passages, are actually receiving chemical messages about what's around you. If you watch dogs do that, we know dogs' sense of smell is much keener than ours. But we also receive those messages. So you know from watching dogs that the way that they look at the world, really, if you take them for a walk, is to sniff everything because they know then who's been there and, you know, what did they have for breakfast and who was with them and all those sorts of things that we can't even begin to imagine, really, because we aren't quite that sensitive. But our noses do take in that information. So it is well worth inviting that conversation with air. And so I would like to share with you a practice that I think will help you begin to do this. And this is half of a breathing practice that my own tradition that I'm trained in does. And so it's a slow breathing exercise. It's good for you anyway. Slow breathing is brilliant for reducing cortisol levels in the body and opening up your lungs and preventing dementia and all kinds of things. So, you know, there's a lot to recommend it. So here's what we'll be doing. We'll be breathing in for a count of whatever is comfortable for you that allows you to take a really deep breath. And then we'll be holding it for that same count. And then we'll be breathing out for that count and holding it for that count. So when you breathe in, it's not just the physical breathing, it's also actually inviting air as a sacred intelligence, as an entity, as a being, with things to share, as a companion, a surrounder, and someone who wraps us all the time, to come in all the way down your body, past your diaphragm, because this is the energetic aspect of air, all the way down your torso to the top side of your perineum, which is the pelvic floor. So we're just going to invite that spirit of air, that pneuma, in to just touch the top of the pelvic floor and then allow it to be there and do whatever it does, and for every person it's different. It's a different experience. So put yourself someplace where you are comfortable, and then we will breathe in. So we breathe in, inviting air in with us. Hold. Breathe out. Hold. Breathe in, inviting air. Breathe out. Hold. I'll repeat that about a dozen times, really. It doesn't take much time at all, but it allows air to communicate with you about what is around you, what sort of day it is, whether there's a lot of pollen in the environment. You'll know that straight away. What the temperature is like. I love doing this at the start of the day, just opening the window, even if it's a cold day. It gives me a sense. Is it a biting, crisp cold? Is it a one of those duller, more moist colds? What is it? You know, is it a dry, hot? Is it a fresh spring day? What am I experiencing? What's the world like out there? And that is what air can tell you. It's what is the world like? What is around you? And it calms you to breathe slowly. And it brings you oxygen, which is very important. And it puts you in relationship with air and allows you to invite it into your body, which is what it does. It comes into our bodies. We undergo that exchange, and then we allow it out. And then it comes into our bodies again. So there we are in intimate connection, again, with an element of air. So that's one element. Well, actually two, that we're in relationship with. And then I very much want to share this one with you, because I remember reading Michael Harner's account of being with the Amazonian Indians and training in shamanism with them. And they would talk about the spirit of the jaguar and the spirit of the jungle, spirit of the river, all of which was, you know, he could completely get that, even though he's anthropologist, Western trained, he could go with that. And then they would say and talk about the spirit of the canoe, and that was probably okay because it was a dugout, so it was originally, it was just a tree, you know, just a tree, but it was a tree, therefore it was, you know, something that he could see having spirit. And they started to talk about the spirit of the outboard motor, and it really gave him pause, because he didn't think that outboard motors really qualified as something that would have spirit, that would have essential being, that would have sacred intelligence. I would side with Indians and say, well, yes, indeed they do. And in fact, if you do much traveling, I would encourage you to just ask, if you get on a train, ask the train, how's it doing? You know, tell it, hi, this is me. How are you? How's it running today? You may get some astounding information back if you just listen to what is immediately sort of echoes around your body. Likewise with airplanes. I always get on an airplane and ask it, how is it doing? If it is not doing well, I send my spirit guardians around to check to see where the problem is. I've had flights delayed when I did this because, sure enough, they turned up a problem that hadn't been turned up before. Personally, if I didn't feel a problem got turned up and the airplane was still saying to me, you know, I'm not doing good. You know, I don't know. I think I might get off, because they're very capable of knowing whether or not they are answering the purpose for which they were built. And if they are not, then I'm not positive I want to put my life in their hands, you know, particularly if they're good enough to tell me that. But most of the time what I hear is, fly, 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 fly. We're flying. We're going to fly. You know, that's what I do. We fly. In which case, I figured the airplane's fine. Now, before you know, bring up the men in the white coats and have me committed, what I really wanted to talk to you about was your house, your apartment, the building that you live in. You can befriend that building. Absolutely can. And the way that you do it is, well, a way you can do it is what Tom Cowan calls Celtic love talk. And what that is something like this. So I might say to my house, Beautiful are the upright walls. Beautiful, too, is the sturdy roof. Beautiful is the shelter from the winds and the rains. Beautiful, too, are the windows that allow the breeze and the sunlight through. And just continue to tell this building or this space how beautiful it is, and specifically how it is beautiful. And continue that until really, you know, you begin to feel the response from the building, because buildings are built with an intention and they will live true to that intention. And they are beings. They're earth, just rearranged and transported. So my building is built with rocks that were quarried in this area, some of which were collected up from the beach because their beach pebbles are rounded and made into a wall. And that, this house is friendly to me and welcomes me. And if you want a place that welcomes you, or if you already have one, by all means, you want to tell it that you appreciate it. And, you know, I share the energy of being welcomed that you feel from it and give that back. So I would encourage you to make an ally and a friend of the building where you live. And also, then another aspect of the world around you that is really very nourishing to be in a friendship with is that network of microbes and fungal sort of underground mycelia and tree roots and plant roots and all of those things that make up the soil and even the subsoil that I just call the green. Because it's the basis for everything that grows. It's the underground version of everything that turns out green on top. So the green is there. And included in that, for me, are all of the essential microbes that live in and on my body. So if you think about how you have gut microbes, and we know now that those are just vital, absolutely vital, and are indeed, you know, our very close allies in living successfully on this planet, being healthy and full of energy and fulfilling our life's purpose, really. And so that's a part of it. And also, of course, we have skin bacteria and microbes, and we have vaginal and urinary balancing good bacteria and microbes that should be there. You know, they're not ones that we want to get rid of. They're ones that keep us balanced, that keep everything functioning well. So those also are ones that are our friends. And befriending them is an absolute joy to me. And to know that we're actually on the same side and I no longer consider them my enemies just because they're germs, quote unquote. That is, you know, for me, that is not the case. So I would invite you to do a little quick journey down into your body again. So find a comfortable place again, and here we go. Let your attention drop. And this time we're going down into our body, all the way down. Go down into your body, let your attention drop there. Deeply, deeply down into your pelvic girdle. Whether you're male or female, doesn't make any difference. You drop right down into that hammock of the pelvic girdle. And from there, we're going to see that from our body, there extend green roots. And what they do is they go out of our body and down into the ground. And they join up with the green that is in the ground. They join up with the microbial life that is perfectly balanced with each other, with the fungal fibers, the mycelia, with the minerals, with the flow of water through the green. And they join up. And because we are joined, we are part of the exchange between all of those and organisms that are part of the green. So trees not only take from the ground, but they also give back. They can give back sugars. They can send to water places. And the microbes can make particular chemicals that not only nourish them, but also allow the plants around them and the mycelium to absorb what they need from the soil more easily. So it is a hugely cooperative and delicately balanced system. And we're part of it. Our roots are part of it. Our gut bacteria are part of it. Our skin bacteria are part of it. And we are actually the project of the green that gives rise to life like us. So send your thanks out through those roots. You can leave those roots there, but you do a thing to them, and then just bring their attention back up. Back up, gently and slowly through your body, into your brain. And when you're there, open your eyes. One of the most powerful friends and allies that we can have. Because from it, you have immediate access to vitality, to life, to peace, to belonging, to knowing that we're all part of the same breathing, living earth. So, if you aren't, you know, completely just replete to bursting at this point, I would suggest that you also then find aspects of your near landscape. Now, this could be a hill. It could be a tree. It could be a bank of plants, a meadow, a stream, the seashore. In my case, there is a wall in my back garden. It's a stone wall. It's covered with ivy. There are three places in my garden that are covered with ivy. This one, in particular, calls out to me. Sacred place. And so it's my friend. You know, I go and speak my prayers to it. It has eyes in it that open from dream time so that I know that I'm seen, known by the ancestors. And I thank it for that and take my thoughts and my concerns to it just like you would to a friend because it is a friend. So I'm going to recommend, you can't do it right this minute unless you're carrying this with you, that you find aspects, an aspect to start with, of your near landscape, the place where you actually live. Maybe it's where you walk every day, maybe between you and your car, maybe between you and work, or between you and the shops, if you don't have a quote-unquote piece of ground of your own. But it is a place that you're allowed to live, that you're allowed to walk. And in addition to just simply thanking the land for you letting you live here, thanking it for all those people who have come before you and lived there and hopefully loved it, and all those people who will come after, and for holding the green and for giving rise to birdsong and trees and whatever else is there, possibly just weeds. If you live in a really, really paved area, keep an eye out for where weeds germinate. They're amazing, utterly amazing beings. And what I find oftentimes is that when I'm wondering about a plant and what it would have to say to me, it appears in my environment over the next few weeks or months. So it may germinate in the crack in a wall, or it may come up through a crack in the pavement, but there it will be, so that I walk past it every day and I say good morning to it and ask it what it has to say to me. So I would definitely suggest that you introduce yourself and state your commitment in being on this planet, the best that you understand it. You know, I think it has something to do with, you know, whatever it is you think it has something to do with, but that you say that to that aspect of the environment and ask what it has to say to you and listen so that it knows it is seen and it is heard and it is your friend and you are its friend. And also, you might want to thank it for its function in the great dance that unites all of us. So if it is a plant, you know, we can thank it for taking in carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen so that it's doing the opposite of what we do. We're in a dance with it, you know, just like one person may move forward while the other person moves back in the dance. And, you know, the same thing is true of us in plants, for instance. Or it may be a rock face. You know, you could thank it for absorbing the heat of the sun and being warm in the late afternoon and evenings, or being cool in the mornings because it's released heat and it's holding the cool of the night, or simply for reflecting the light and hosting, you know, in its cracks and irregularities, hosting new growth. Whatever it is that strikes you, well worth thanking that aspect of your near environment. And then I would also say, then this now's the time for the candle. I would say that fire is another ally that I would recommend that you make friends with. Now, currently, and this is, as far as I know, when you're listening to this, this is July of 2018. The world is a fairly dry and hot place at this moment in time, at least the Northern Hemisphere is. There's several places where there are wildfires burning. And where I am, there's a fire hazard. So it's not on fire, but it's, you know, they're saying, please, no open fire. So don't go and light a fire, please, not right now. So be cautious about that. But, you know, light a candle. So I would recommend now that you find your candle and light it and have it in front of you if there's a safe place that you can do that. And I will talk to you a little bit about fire. Fire is one of our humankind's oldest allies that's been with us for the longest, and it lights the darkness, it keeps us warm in the cold, keeps predators away, warns them that, you know, humans are here and on guard, and fire is guarding us as well, and it helps us to cook our food and digest it more easily so that there is more time left for art and beauty and singing and dancing and celebrating. So fire has brought great gifts to us and continues to do so. And you find fire not only in an open fireplace or in a hibachi outside or in a candle flame, but you also find fire, of course, in most of the power plants that give us electricity. And you find fire in your own cells because the same process that goes on that allows heat and light to come out of a fire goes on in a tiny controlled way in your cells, which is what keeps your body warm and allows you to have the energy to think and to move and to breathe and to do all of those things that we do. So fire is an old and valued and generous ally and friend of humankind. So sit yourself with a candle in front of you. And look into the candle flame if you can, and introduce yourself. So we would say something like, fire, you are one of our oldest allies. And this is me, Laurie, and I'm here to live out compassion in the world, and I'm here to learn from you. I'm here to learn from your generosity and from your power, and would like to take into myself some of the power that you show me in this candle flame. And so what we're going to do then is to use our imagination and our body and take your forefinger and thumb and quickly reach into the flame and take apart a tiny, tiny pinch of the energy, the actual spirit of the flame, and hold it to your nose and inhale. As you exhale, send that piece of flame down through your body into that pelvic girdle. So if you're a woman, you're sending it directly into your womb, and if you're a man, you're sending it to your perineum. And thank it. And then try that again. So take a pinch of the energy, of the spirit of the fire. Inhale. Exhale gently while sending it down through your body. So exhale through your nose. wants to linger any place, let it linger. But you're actually adding to your own energy, the energy of the fire. And that is a way of making friends with fire, of honoring it, and then of making use of that energy too, so that you live more vitally, you live more your purpose more luminously in this world. Okay. So there are some places where you can make allies that are of this world that will give you the grounding to continue then to make friends with and to make allies of other beings. So they may be beings who are not in some kind of a physical form, or they may be beings that are in a physical form. But either way, you have the grounding and the connection to proceed and do that. Before you do, then you want to make this into some kind of a daily practice. So you might get up in the morning and do your breathing, wash your face and call on water to cleanse you, to invigorate you. And you might also spend some time just love talking your home, you know, admiring its walls and its electrical circuits and its whatever else it is that it provides you with, and telling it how beautiful it is, because it is full of beauty, full of grace, full of the intention of the builder. And then as you go out about your business, make it your business to greet your friends and allies in your near environment, in your near landscape, the one in which you live and spend your time. So it may be that you live in one place and that you then travel to work in another. So there are two near landscapes that you might then befriend the elements of. And what an adventure that is, to take yourself into those environments and simply quietly and regularly greet the elements of the landscape, invite them to be your friends, tell them who you are, and there you have allies all around that you have made friends with. And just like when you make a friend and then, you know, you phone them up or you go out and have coffee or you do something together, you want to keep in contact with these allies and continue to greet them and to ask their advice and to listen to them and see what echoes up through your body. Our bodies are the best antenna we have, really, for receiving messages from the world around us and from spirit and from ourselves. So all of that happens together. We have this fabulous physical antenna that receives information. And if we are tuned into it just a little bit, we'll just echo it up through your cells and into your consciousness. And it will sort of come up into consciousness. It may come up as a word. It may come up as an impression. It may come up with you thinking, when I think about that, my stomach hurts. Or when I think about that, my body relaxes. So it's giving you feedback all of the time. All you have to do is listen to it, you know, and you'll learn. You know, you just try it and see what happens, and walk through your life listening to the wind, listening to the green, listening to your body. And you will have a blessed existence doing that, because that is part of being truly, deeply, humanly in love with this world, which is what we're here to do. So thank you so very much for listening, for participating with me. And we'll stop for a moment and thank the spirits of the East and of the South and of the West and of the North, the spirits of the above, the sun, the moon, the stars, the winds and clouds, and the earth, spirit of below, earth, for being here. Thank you for listening. And I will then hopefully be talking to you in a month's time. So have a fabulous month in the meantime, and enjoy your allies and your friends and your near